Hey, welcome to episode 329 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and I just won a bronze medal in downhill podcasting. Today, Fantastic Four 329 from August 1989, and You Can't Wake Up by artist Rich Buckler, the new regular artist on his second go-round with the Fantastic Four, and writer John Harkness, the same old disgruntled writer Steve Englehart, still doesn't want to put his name on the book, but he doesn't want to leave either. So the issue begins with the Fantastic Four. Clones! Yes, clones! Send in the clones! It's the Attack of the Clones! It's the Clone Saga! I love me some clones. I wish I had a clone of myself. I'd force him to record this podcast for me, and I wouldn't have to read this comic. So the clone Reed is in his lab, hooking up his personal computer, which he keeps calling, he keeps using the brand name Torino XL, an odd product placement for a product that doesn't actually exist. And he's got his PC hooked up to his other more advanced computers, and he's running some data and discovers, "There's a task that awaits us. It's a fearful task," he says. "There's a fearful task that awaits me too, reading this issue." Lijah the Skrull is also there, not a clone, but a Skrull imposter of Alicia Masters, and she seems confused by something. Why is Ben, who was turned back into a human a few issues ago, back to being a rock monster? Johnny just says that Reed is a great scientist. He can do anything. She points out that she was there at the Empire State Building when Ben rescued the Fantastic Four, but she got knocked out and woke up, and Ben was a rock monster again. She seems more concerned about that than the fact that she was mysteriously knocked out. Fake Ben blames it on some doomsday device that the Frightful Four blew up, and Reed had to transform Ben back to the Thing to save his life. And the Frightful Four got away in the confusion. Ben goes on to say that Reed's got a lot of adventures lined up for the team, and Lijah asks, like what? Reed says they plan to capture the Mole Man. He says that according to the computers, the Mole Man was the FF's first villain. So for the new so-called new adventurous team, this should be their first opponent. Well, as you can imagine, this is a huge red flag to Lijah the Skrull, who asks why they need a computer to tell them that. Reed replies, "Alicia, you are Johnny's wife and our very good friend. But when I make a decision, you are not in a position to question me." She says, "Well, your time away from the FF seems to have made you somewhat insecure." She reminds them that the Mole Man had been kidnapped by the Lava Men and asks how they're going to find him. Fake Reed says they'll just go to Monster Island. Fake Alicia reminds them that Monster Island sank. Fake Sue says that Reed will just raise the island. You know what would be funny? If they went there and they found a fake Mole Man, too. Lijah seems surprised that Reed can do that, but he says he can do anything. Johnny suggests that Lijah gets going, and she does. She leaves. Lijah says that's a good idea. She's a little shaken up over whatever happened in the Empire State Building. So once they're alone, fake Johnny suggests they should have included her in their plans. And Reed says, "She's not like us. She is normal." And Sue says, "Less than normal. Without her sight." And Ben says, "What good is someone who can't at least watch?" Sharon adds that they better be careful around her, because if she finds out what's going on, they're going to have to kill her. And clone Ben gleefully suggests that he will kill her himself. Meanwhile, in the Rocky Mountains, up in Alberta, Aaron the Evil Watcher is busy watching his clones, some kind of mental powers, I assume, that allows him to see that far away. He seems happy with their progress, and he heads back into his mountain hideout, where Dragon Man is waiting. And locked up in a bunch of glass tubes are all the members of the Fantastic Four and the Frightful Four in suspended animation. He says that he's not cruel. He could have killed them all, but he didn't. He just wants to act out and create his own Fantastic Four adventures using his own fake Fantastic Four, kind of like what Jim Lee will do a decade later. He mentions that he's got a special suit that will protect him from being observed by Uatu the Watcher, who lives on Earth's moon. And he's also worried that the Empire State Building is too conspicuous, so he relocated to a secluded hideaway in Alberta. I don't know how he managed to sneak the frozen bodies of the Fantastic and Frightful Fours through customs, but he did. And this was before NAFTA, which is when it became perfectly acceptable to carry frozen bodies back and forth across the U.S.-Canadian border. So back with the clones of the FF, they're heading across the Pacific in the Fantastic Car, looking for the old location of Monster Isle. Ben thinks it's a wild goose chase, but Reed stops the vehicle over a section of the ocean and turns on these rays that shoot out of the bottom of the ship. Suddenly, Monster Isle pops up out of the ocean. They land, they get out, and they find that cave that leads to the subterranean world below. They soon come across a creepy, two-headed monster. And no, not the man with two penises, but a huge green creature with two heads and blood-red eyes. So Ben charges toward the monster and punches him in the face. Well, in one of his faces, knocking him out. But wouldn't he have to punch him in both of his heads to knock him out? You would think so. Ben picks up the unconscious creature and tosses him down a large hole. But the creature has wings, and he wakes up, and a moment later, he flies back up and threatens the FF again. This time, Reed says he'll handle it. He makes a lasso out of his arm and tosses it around the creature's neck. Necks. And as he does this, the monster swats Ben aside with his tail. The force of all this action shatters the rocks beneath their feet, causing a cave-in, and the five fake members of the Fantastic Four start to fall into that large hole. They seem surprised because this isn't what happened to the Fantastic Four before. Johnny is flying and carrying his sister Sue, who creates a nice, comfy force field for herself and Sharon to land on, but Ben misses it and hits the floor hard. Reed stretches down to see if he's okay. Ben gets up and says, "It'll take more than that to hurt him." Johnny, for some reason, can't reach the ground. He asks Reed to carry him. He says it's because he's only 16. So Reed makes a parachute out of his body and carries him down. Huh, that makes no sense. He can't land on the ground because he's only 16? Ugh, the writer of this comic should be ashamed of himself. Oh wait, he is. The fake Fantastic Four seem a little confused. They seem like they don't know that there are only clones, even though earlier when they were talking about Lijah the Skrull, they did seem to know they were clones. Reed says it feels like they're in some kind of dream. Johnny tells Sue to turn invisible, and she does. Sharon says she feels like she has very little to contribute to this adventure, echoing the sentiments of most of the readers of the Fantastic Four back in 1989. Reed says they better get on with the business of finding the Mole Man. Back in Canada, Aaron is watching with interest. He seems intrigued by the internal conflict between his clones, between their current selves and their fake memories. And then by speaking to himself, he reminds us readers that the clone Fantastic Four cannot act against his orders, and the real Fantastic Four cannot awaken from the deep freeze he's put them in. Which, of course, you know what that means. That by the end of the story, the clone Fantastic Four will act against his orders, and the real Fantastic Four will awaken from their deep freeze. Next, we zoom in on the frozen heroes and have a look at what they're dreaming about. Ben is dreaming about a conversation with Sharon, where she asked why he had to screw up a good thing, the good thing being all that rock monster sex they were having. And Ben says he just wanted to be happy. And we see inside the head of Sharon the She-Thing, and she's dreaming the final part of that conversation with Ben, where she gets angry and asks, "What about my happiness?" He says that being human is better than being a rock monster any day of the week. So, of course, she tries to clobber him. Back with the clone Fantastic Four, they continue on down the caves until they come to the Valley of the Diamonds. And on the other side, they are greeted by the Mole Man, along with a couple of armed Moloids. He fills them in on his life since they last encountered him a year or so ago, when he was dragged off into a pit of deadly magma by the Lava Men. They only wanted to keep the Mole Man from leading the Moloids in a revolt against the Lava Men, so he decided to devote himself to trying to create peace among the two warring factions, which he says he succeeded at doing. And now, he tells the Thing, who he calls his friend, he wants to go back with the FF to the surface world. But he's not aware he's dealing with an evil Thing clone, a very bad Thing indeed, who tries to clobber Mole Man, yelling out, "Let's kill him!" and swinging wildly at him, hitting a rock wall instead. Before you know it, the chamber's flooded with yellow Moloids to attack the evil FF, and chaos breaks out. And during the fighting, another baddie shows up, a big gray rock monster, who attacks Johnny. Sharon sees Johnny being attacked, and she rushes over to help by punching the rock creature, thus effectively ruining any chance she had of getting asked out on a date. Mole Man screams out that the FF are insane, and he turns, and he runs like hell. So clone Johnny starts to chase after the Mole Man, but clone Ben tries to hold him back, saying that going after the Mole Man is a man's job. In that case, maybe it should be Reed who goes after the Mole Man. But when Johnny and Ben get close to Mole Man, they see he's been joined by an army of hulking green monsters. And Johnny, Ben, and Sharon start fighting it out. But for some reason, in the middle of the fight, Johnny suddenly loses his flames, and Reed has to catch him. And soon, Reed, Sue, and Johnny are surrounded by Moloids, and Ben and Sharon are held captive by the green monsters, and Mole Man stands there and brags about his victory. But then suddenly, a big red laser ray from the sky hits Monster Island, and the entire cave shakes, and rocks start to fall everywhere, and a second ray hits the cave, and in the chaos, the FF break free and flee. So they reach the entrance and run out onto the beach, just as the cave collapses behind them, crushing a bunch of Moloids and green monsters, and sealing up the cave forever? Mission accomplished. The Mole Man will never trouble anyone on the surface world ever again. So this was their mission? To raise up Monster Island, just to collapse the entrance again and seal it off. Seems like they were better off before raising Monster Isle back into the surface in the first place. The evil FF speed off in the Fantasticar, while Mole Man screams that he was ready to be friends with the FF, but not now. No siree. Now he hates them. He hates them with all his heart. And then the island explodes, and it sinks again. And back in his hidden lair in Alberta, Aaron the Watcher seems pleased with the first mission of his evil FF, even though he did have to intervene a little with those two death rays from the sky. And that's the end of this issue. Coming next time, the second part of the Clone FF Adventures. I remember being really pissed off as a kid reading this storyline, and not liking the fact that the real FF spends four entire issues in glass tubes while we follow the adventures of a bunch of clones. So you can imagine how I really lost my shit during the Ben Reilly Spider-Man nonsense. So that's it for now. You can find my favorite panels from each issue of the Fantastic Four and other stuff on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or at www.podcastff.podbean.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.